Welcome to Drivecast, a podcast where I try to string together coherent sentences while driving a car. This is a pilot episode. I'm recording it on my iPhone, just, you know, with the microphone on the in-ear headphones. I don't know how the audio quality is going to turn out. It's the first time I've done this. If it works, it works. If it sounds shit, I'll probably get rid of it. Main thing is, like, can you actually understand what I'm saying? So if you can, then that's great, I'll upload it. But the whole point of me doing this is that, look, I'm not all that comfortable just being in front of the microphone. So this is an attempt to just sort of ease me into it, to be comfortable talking on a microphone when there's nobody else there that's going to talk back. And the car is the perfect place to do that because I'm in here by myself and there's nobody else around. The other people, they're in their own cars. I'm not going to feel self-conscious about talking on a microphone because somebody's going to walk past and they're going to be like, who are you talking to? I'm like, nobody, I'm just talking to myself. I'm just doing a podcast. Oh, what's a podcast? I don't have a podcast. All this weird technical shit. But, no. Cars are good because you're just by yourself. Nobody else knows what you're doing. Anybody coming the other way, if you see your mouth moving, like, they're going to, they're on the phone. Obviously on the phone. So, you know, hopefully, I'll be able to, actually talk in a manner that other people can understand. And, like I said at the top of the show, form coherent sentences, because that's something that I'm not all that flash about when I'm just talking about. But it is driving past a lake. Usually it's a salt lake, but it is fucking blue as. It's all full of water. If there was somewhere for me to pull over, I'd take a picture of it, but I don't think you get much of a good photo anyway. You can't see the whole lake. But, no, usually it's fucking dry. It's white. It's a salt lake. But, still got water in it, which is impressive. Especially for this time of year. Usually everything is fucking, like, completely dry, and, like, yeah, as driving along here, everything on the side of the road completely yellow. There's nothing's alive, it's all dead. Hopefully I can form coherent sentences, keep a train of thought going. I see things on the side of the road, I'll point it out, because I think that's part of the fun of doing a podcast in a car. If this shit works, what I'd like to be able to do in the future is have, I don't know how I'd do it. I think the easiest way to do it is to just put a fucking phone on the dashboard, use the front facing camera, make sure it's pointed roughly at my face, and so, okay, look, you can see me driving, and then also have another camera, probably a GoPro or some shit, pointed at the road, so, like, if it was dead road. There's a very big kangaroo, it's just dead on the side of the road. You don't see that many kangaroos on the side of the road, yeah. It's usually pretty good. Going to my grandparents' place, you get out in the scrub, you go on this national park either side of the highway, and there's fucking kangaroos, and they're everywhere. There's emus, and when you drive along at night, it's like, you do not close your fucking eyes, because some kangaroo's gonna jump out in front of you. It's gonna fuck the car up. But you'll most likely be okay, because, you know, airbags and shit, but go another 110. Kangaroos do some serious fucking damage. It's not fun. But Anyway.
Yeah. I've taken that crop in here. Is that a crop?
Yes, yeah, crop of wheat. That still hasn't been reaped. Like, it's been a real fucking weird season. Usually it is dry, but we keep having these storms come down from fucking I don't know where. Last year, for the last couple of years, I think, it's been El Niño, and that's passed, so weather's a bit out of whack at the moment. So yeah, all the farms are supposed to be getting their crops in, but they can't because it keeps fucking raining. And if you have... fucking low fuel. Farmers can't get the crops in because the grain gets wet. It has to be below, I think it was 13.5% moisture. Any higher than that, they won't take it. All the rain that we've had just causes issues with fucking weeds, snails, insects. They'll get stuck in the crops. So, most of the stuff around here has been cut. Yeah, this is kind of why I'd like to have a front-facing camera just sticking out of the road so you can, as I'm talking about something, it's like, oh, look, there's a fucking dick kangaroo in the road. Or, look at the crops. Look at the crops that haven't been roped yet. They, put it up on fucking YouTube and you can actually see, there's something to look at. Because that's just what I don't get about people do these podcasts, right? And they're all in a fucking studio and they've got these fucking expensive ass microphones and it's all, it looks like super schmick and really professional. But, or they do the thing where it's like, oh, let's all get on Google Hangouts and we're gonna, you can just see our fucking faces and that's it. And the question that I have is, okay, why do you do that? Why upload it to YouTube when it's just an audio thing? If there's nothing there for the audience to look at, you're kind of doing the audience a disservice. I've been watching to archived streams, previously recorded. They stream on Twitch and then they upload it to YouTube usually a couple of weeks, sometimes a month later. And I just sort of put that on in the background. So I absolutely get the point of having people just fucking talk bullshit just in a YouTube video and you watch it. Have it going on in the background on some other screen, like it's on your iPad, or in my case, it's on the Surface. And it's just next to your computer screen. You're doing something that doesn't require your full attention. I just put this on. Fucking listen to it. As I'm doing whatever I'm doing. And but being a video, occasionally you can look over and you can see what they're up to. If they have something that they want to show, you can see it. Because they're playing a game, so you can look at the game that they are playing. And they'll be talking about what's happening on screen. Just like, did you see this? That was fucking weird. And then you look at the screen, you're like, huh! That dams the water. But yeah, if I had that set up here, where it's like, I'm driving to wherever, I'm talking, obviously it's going to be more work, but the thing is, I'm only going to be doing this when I'm driving somewhere. And usually if it's longer than a 10-minute trip, let's say that we're talking about a half-hour trip, then, I'll put it on and do some talking, see how it goes. But I don't drive very often. Currently I'm driving between Burra and Adelaide. I need some time at home, away from the fucking pub. It's causing me issues, and I'll get into that a little later. About 7 km out of Manura, and when I pull into Saddleworth, I've got to fill up with fuel, because what do we now? When I started this, it's like, oh, you got like a quarter of a tank or fucking whatever, and now it's like, oh no, the needle's right, I'm fucking empty. you're going to run out of petrol, oh my god! But, yeah. It'll get there, it'll be okay. I'd feel more confident if I had a jerry can in the back. Because then I wouldn't worry about it. I'd be like, ah, oh, whatever, I've got 20 litres worth of petrol, fuck it. But, probably could have filled up, or probably should have filled up a bar before I left, but I kind of wanted to get going. And, I wasn't exactly in a hurry to leave. I got up this morning. I was thinking about it last night, and I'm like, fuck it, I want to go home. I want to go home for a couple of days. And, I sort of forgot about it this morning when I woke up, didn't say anything about it. And then I had a shower, and I'm in the shower, I'm like, I'm going to go home. So I come down before I had breakfast, and I told my parents that, look, can I go home, because I really want to go home. I think it would be beneficial to me. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, you can go home. And, hopefully when I come back, I'll be feeling better. I wasn't in any sort of hurry to pack, because I don't need to pack much. I've pretty much been living out of suitcases for the past 2 or 3 years anyway. I've always got some clothes packed in a bag. All my toiletries, like toothbrushes and shit like that, that's always in a bag. Everything's ready to go. At a moment's notice, be like, okay, I'm going somewhere. Going up to the farm, going down to Adelaide, going somewhere. I'm going to be staying the night, whatever. I just need to chuck in a couple of extra things, maybe a spare shirt, a pair of shorts, something like that, and throw the toiletries in the other bag, and okay, I can go. And I obviously get all my computer shit together. This time I've left my iPad at home. No, not at home. I've left my iPad at the pub, and I've left the... I've left that, the MacBook Air at the pub, and I'm just bringing my Surface, and obviously my iPhone, because that's what the fuck I'm recording on. So I've left all that at home, at the pub. Just going home. I've been there for two nights. And as I keep saying, hopefully when I come back, I'll be feeling better, be feeling refreshed. I'll be feeling like I've had a break, because I was at the pub at I went to my grandparents' farm sometime, I think it was December. Sometime into like early mid-December, so I went there. I did some reaping, and I was there for, originally it was just going to be there for 1 week, and then a week later is going to go up for another week, and we're just pulling into Manura now, and Tenka is the next town. But it ended up being that I was there for 3 weeks, because I wasn't required in the kitchen, because Mum was able to get time off of work so that she could be up and be in the kitchen. That left me free to help my grandparents up at the farm, reaping all the wheat. We had one paddock of barley, and we're doing this property over the highway. It's called Moors. It's just on the... It's on the southern edge, southwestern edge of Lake Gillis Conservation Park. It's a nice big salt lake next to it. And, what's that? Another dead animal. I think that was a cat. I think it was a dead cat. I'll be pointing out every single dead animal that I see, because I like that. Moors is about 20 to 30 kilometres away from the homestead. So you know, it's a lot. You get up every morning, you drive all the way out there, and we're leaving Monaro. Yeah, it takes about half an hour, so it's not that long. But, you know, it's a lot. Do that every day. 60k round trip. And you gotta take your lunch with you. Cruise control onto 110, but the cars in front of me aren't going particularly fast, so. What's the point of overtaking you? Because the next town... Why are you going so fucking slow? Seriously. The next town, I'm going to be pulling over to get fuel. Because the car says, low fuel! You got low fuel? Oh my god! It does stress me out, though, when cars have low fuel. Because, especially in this one, I haven't driven it enough to know how much fuel I can get out of it. And the other thing that I haven't figured out is, because it's got a digital odometer. I haven't figured out how to reset the fucking odometer every time I fill up. So on my motorbike, I fill up and reset the odometer. And I know roughly how many kilometres I can get out of a tank before I have to put it on a reserve. I think it's around about 260, 250, 260. It depends on the sort of driving you've been doing. And... yeah, reserve, I think it's a 17 litre tank, so the tank itself is 15 and there's another 2 litres in reserve, and you can do about 5 litres per 100 kilometres, because Port Wakefield is about 100k's out of Adelaide. You fill up at the fucking Caltex, or you can go to the BP on Port Wakefield Road, fill up there, drive all the way up to Port Wakefield, and that's about 100 kilometres. And I do that and I get need to put 5 litres in the thing. So yeah, 5 litres will get me 100k's. 2 litres will get me, I don't know, I haven't fucking figured it out, but it'll get me a decent distance. This thing, I've got no idea how big the tank is. I think it might be 60 litres. I'll find out when I put some fuel in it. Because yeah, it's right on empty. And I do know that with... fuel gauges, I've been told by plenty of people that look, the fuel gauge says that it's empty, but you've actually probably got another 15 litres in the tank. So yeah, it's not so, it's something that I worry about less now. But when I was a kid, oh man, we're coming back from the dentist one time, and I look over at the fuel gauge says empty, and I was fucking freaking out that Mum wasn't pulling over to fill up, because I was thinking, oh no, we're going to get stranded, we're going to get fucking stuck on the side of the road, we're not going to have any petrol, what are we doing? Because, yeah, I was only a little kid, and every single fucking servo she passed, it's like, oh no, I won't fill up at this one, I won't fill up at this one, and it's like, fucking just pull over and fill up at one of them, Jesus fucking Christ. But, yeah, no, the more familiar you are with your vehicle and what it's capable of and so on and so forth, you know how much further you can go. My grandfather's just turned 88. He's still farming. My uncle's 50-something. He has depression. Those two things. You got to go 30k's. Out to Moors to read that, and there's no opportunities for you to go home, have a break, go for a dump, have some lunch, sit down for a while. You're just sort of stuck out there, and just about pulling a Saddleworth. This is their 80k sign. It's real fucking sneaky, this, and you'll see it one day. If I ever have this video set up that I want to do, of course this shit all costs money and so on and so forth, but yeah, it's real fucking sneaky, because there's a corner and then immediately after the corner there's a hill, and that's where the 80k signs are, on the down slope of the hill. So, oh, let's not put them before the corner where you can actually see the signs. No, let's put it after the corner on the hill. So you're cruising along 110 and suddenly it's just like, oh, fuck. Where did these 80k signs come from? I don't know. Shit, I'm speeding now because I didn't see them coming and I can't brake in time. But anyway. Pull over, get some fuel, and maybe I'll keep rabbiting on afterwards. I suppose I should listen back to the recording to make sure that that's gone okay, because I've been talking for half an hour. Was it half an hour? I think it's been half an hour. Probably about 60Ks I've been driving. DP, we can put some fucking the fuel in the car, it's gonna be great. The other thing that shits me about this car, like, there's only been one other car that I've driven where the thing for the fuel tank is on the driver's side, and that's my grandparents' 84 Land Cruiser. So that's on the driver's side. Every other car has been on the passenger side. Getting into this car, I was like, oh, it's going to be on the passenger car like every other car. And it's like, nope, it's on the driver's side. Like, okay. Why can't these things be consistent? Like, it'd just be nice. Oh, it's still recording. Yeah. Recording again, hurrah. Yeah, filled up with petrol, 55 litres, so let's call that a 60 litre tank. Not that I care, but it was 76, whatever, $76. Yeah, I haven't listened back to the recording yet, because I just wanted to brag about how good ice cream. It's good ice cream. Like, real fucking good ice cream. It's the Magnum Double Chocolate, which is fucking awesome. It's got the chocolate coating on the outside. And then it's got chocolate sauce. And then there's another chocolate coating, and then there's chocolate ice cream. It's fucking epic. Double chocolate, thick chocolate sauce hidden between two chocolate tea layers. Anyway, I'm a shop and I'm gonna listen back to recording, so it's any fucking good. Okay, so I listened back to a little bit of it. The road noise isn't too bad. You can hear me. I'm probably a little bit quieter than I should be. I don't know how to fix that, because I'm already talking pretty fucking loud. I'm just finishing my ice cream. Go. Fucking go. The hilarious thing is that the headphone keeps scratching on my beard, so you can just hear this constant rustling noise in the background. I'm sure it's going to irritate the fuck out of some people, but whatever. I'll look into that, see how I can fix it. Probably there'd be something I could do. I don't know what. Hook up some other microphone. But I don't want this shit to get too fucking complicated, because that causes problems. The simpler your setup is, the easier it is to manage. Especially something like this, where it's not going to be a planned thing. It's going to be more of a spur of the moment thing, where it's like, I'm driving in a car. Let's do some podcasting. Yeah. Real fucking annoying thing about cruise control on. You go to Burra to Saddleworth, right? 110. You do 110 kilometres an hour. Saddleworth to Adelaide is 100. The road is exactly the same condition. There's no difference. It's not like it's windier. The road's about, it's the same width. It's actually in the road surface is better condition than it is between Burra and Saddleworth. Oh, look, it varies, but you know, why is it that we have to do 100 here, whereas before it was 110? I'm sure the towns, they're only 10 km apart from each other. Maybe that's it. But yeah, just sort of gotta give you the shits when you got a 2-hour drive, and just for one part of it you can do 110. And then for the other part of it, it's like, 100. I don't know how much of a difference it would make, actually. But, yeah. It would make a difference. So I think I was talking about, something with farming. Farming! Yes, farming. Yeah, so Moores is 30-odd k's away. You do that every day. It's a long day, because you're there pretty much sun up to sundown, just working. One person's driving the header, the other person's running around, getting the bins, filling trucks up, sitting around on their ass a lot of the times. You just camp out underneath a field bin. Shade. It's quite nice cool breeze. It's not too bad. But yeah, it is a long day. And yeah, for me to be able to go out there and help them, especially in that part, it's not so bad once you get home, because out of the homestead, it's a barely a 5-minute trip down at Burnie's, which is, I forget how many kilometres away. It's really not that far. Like, it might be 5 or 10 k's. But yeah, you can get there and back easy as. So that means that you go out in the morning, you clean up the header, you get going, and you might take morning tea. You don't really worry about much else. And then when somebody else comes out to drive the header, it's like, okay, well, I'm going home and I'm going to have lunch. But yeah, Moores is the tough one. And it's a lot to move all the equipment out there, and then you got to bring it all fucking back. And that's a big job. So having three drivers really helps, because then you can have one person in driving the header. So they're bringing the header back. The other person's bringing, what did we bring back? I think we brought the fuel cart back. So I was bringing the fuel cart back, and that was on the back of the full drive. And my grandfather brought back one of the tractors in a bin, because like obviously you need a bin, because if you're reaping, what do you empty the header into? So yeah, we got that. And then afterwards it's okay, you got two people, two vehicles. It's a big fucking logistical problem, actually. Just about to pull into Riverton. You've got, how many? We had three drivers. You got a header, two tractors. It was probably 5 fuel bins, 3 trailers, because we had the firefighter, we had the fuel cart, and we had the two-wheel trailer out there as well. Yeah. And, yeah, it's how do you get all of this shit back in as few trips as possible? So, if I was a maths teacher, I'd be like, okay, this is a real-world problem. We've got these farmers, we've got 3 drivers, 2 tractors, 1 header. Only 2 of them are licensed to drive HR vehicles. I think it's HR. The other one's only licensed to drive a C vehicle. So I can only drive motorcycles and cars. Whereas my grandfather can drive... I think he might be able to drive a semi. I think his license goes all the way because he's 88. And when all this stuff... like the licensing come in, it's like, oh, well, you know... It was pretty much, what do you want to drive? And it's like, oh, well, you know, I want to be able to drive motorbikes and trucks and so on and so forth. And it's like, okay, and they just put it on the license. Like, my grandmother had a motorcycle license. She's never ridden a motorcycle, well, not all the time that I've known her, never ridden a motorcycle. I don't know if there was a point where she ever did. But, yeah, she had a, she was C, R, and I don't know what else. Might have just been C and R. But yeah, I've got C, R, grandfather has, I think it might be medium rigid. I did look at his license one time, and I can't remember what it said. But yeah, it allows him to drive, he can drive a truck, and he can drive tractors on the road. And Michael has the same thing, he can do trucks and tractors on the road. Whereas I can't. So there's 2 drivers that can drive the header and the 2 tractors back, and there's 1 that can only drive cars. And we have 3 cars available to us. Yeah, we had 2 Land Cruisers and a Tray-Top. One of the Land Cruisers that only had a ball pull, whereas the other Land Cruiser and the Tray-Top, we could swap out the pull. So yeah, it's this big fucking massive logistical problem as how do we get all the shit back that we need to get back in as few trips as possible, so that we're not spending too much on fuel. And yeah, because you got 3 people discussing, you know, oh, we're only all got your own ideas and how can, what, like, the best way of doing things. And, yeah, not that it turns into an argument, it just takes longer to figure out than it probably should. And of course, every year is different, so you can't be like, oh, well, last year we did this, so let's just do that again. There's no sort of, oh, let's figure out what the perfect solution is and just do that all the time, because that doesn't happen. But yeah, I was up the farm for 3 weeks, and we finished Moors and I was able to help bring all the equipment back. And then that was a week out of Christmas. So that was Christmas week. I came back to the pub, and I've been at the pub ever since Christmas week. I haven't been home. I've done a couple of trips into Clare, but that's only like to do some shopping. Yeah, so I haven't had a break, because my dad wants to be open all the fucking time, and the license does allow us to have 1 day off a week, so we can be trading for 6 days and close on the 7th, or whatever order that we want to do that. So if we can close on a Tuesday, we could do that, but he doesn't want to, because he's fucking crazy, he wants to be trading as often as possible, and it's like, but why? Like, can't you give yourself like 52 days off in a year? Yeah, so because he wants to work all the time, it means that I have to work all the time. And it's fucking rough. It's fucking rough. So yeah, going home, get some rest, spend some time with my sister. We're going to watch that new this new Dragon Ball Z abridged movie out, so we're going to watch that together. Because Dragon Ball Z abridged is fucking awesome. You should check it out. It's really funny. Sorry, just taking a drink. It's really good. Like, they're good writers, these guys. They're also good voice actors. So they come up with, like, really good jokes. And they sort of... They do all their own voices for all of the characters. And they cut and splice the footage up. And it removes just so much of the fucking bullshit. Because I watched part of the Freezer saga when I was a kid. Only part of it, like, I didn't see the whole thing. I was into it, but, oh, Jesus fucking Christ, it just took so fucking long. It took so fucking long. Like, there's a bit where Freezer's like, well, fuck you, I'm just gonna blow up the planet. And he blows up the planet, and just like, I estimate that the planet will be destroyed, completely destroyed, in this amount of time. And, you know, it was minutes. I estimate that the planet's going to be destroyed in minutes. And, like, three episodes later, it's like, oh, this is taking longer than I expected. And it's like, ah! Like, and I've been watching Dragon Ball with my sister. Because I'd always wanted to watch Dragon Ball Z. But, yeah, just that little bit of the Freezer saga that I watched. I'm like, oh, man, it's going to take so fucking long. It's going to take forever to watch all of Dragon Ball Z. It's going to be boring as. Yeah, we found this Dragon Ball Z abridged. And it's like, fuck yeah, we watched this. It's a hell of a lot funnier. It moves at a significantly faster pace. Like, they probably get past the whole Frieza saga thing, like, in a fraction, well, definitely in a fraction of the time that it takes them to do it in the actual show. And so, yeah, we're watching that. And I was talking to my sister about how, did they do a parody for Dragon Ball? She's like, Dragon Ball does not need a parody, because Dragon Ball is funnier and weird enough on its own that it doesn't need somebody else making a parody version of it. So yeah, we've been watching that. Dragon Ball moves at a fair pace. The Red Ribbon Army bit, there's parts of that that take for fucking ever. Like the whole bit with the General White and the tower, I can't remember what it was called. Broom Tower, was it? I don't know. But yeah, that... Oh, Jesus Christ. That took so fucking long. It was so fucking boring. It was like, like, there's funny bits in it. There's really funny bits. Like, the bit with Murasaki. That is some funny shit. It's also tedious. And it goes on a long time. And you're going to cut back to the little redhead girl. It's like, oh, I hope that Goku's okay. It's like, let's just... Yeah, just fucking get on with it. And then Ada. And he's like, oh, please, don't use violence. And it's like, oh, shut up! Shut up, just let Goku punch things! You're just dragging this shit out. So it takes longer for no good reason. And after that, things move at a fair pace. Like the bits with, what's his face? It was General Blue? I think it was General Blue. That didn't take too long. That was fun. And then Goku's like, okay, well, I'm just going to beat up the whole Red Ribbon Army now. And there's parts of that that were... bit tedious because it's like, I've got to save Hooper's father and bring him back to life. And it takes a while. Corrin's Tower was fun. But, yeah, just the pace that anime moves at. It's like, so tedious. So very tedious. But, yeah, so anyway, we're going to watch... Going to watch that Dragon Ball Z Bridge. I think it's one of the movies. She told me a little bit about it, and I probably forgot everything that she said, because I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. I'm just going to watch it when I get home, so... there's something about Trunks being a princess... is what she was saying, because she's already watched it, because it comes out, just like, I've got to watch this immediately, and then she messages me, it's like, there's a new Dragon Ball Z Bridge, and I'm like, okay, I'll watch it when I'm with you, because it's just, like, the experience of watching the show is watching it with her, and it's the same reason that we sort of stopped watching Top Gear, because Top Gear was on SBS, and then, we've just gone through Thailand, by the way, yeah. Top Gear was on SBS, and then Channel 9 bought it, because they're like, fuck, Top Gear makes money, and if we had that show, we could charge advertisers a whole bunch of monies, and we could make a whole bunch of monies, and so yeah, they stole Top Gear from SBS, put even more fucking ads behind it, I'm behind a ute that's doing 80, so I think that's why I said ads behind it, but no, they put even more fucking ads on it, and it's like, well, Top Gear's kind of ruined now, and we didn't watch it on Channel 9, and like, we've had plenty of opportunities to watch it since then. Like, I had been buying seasons of Top Gear on iTunes, so any time that they were at a special price, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm going to buy some seasons of Top Gear. I'd much prefer getting them on DVD or something, because I hate iTunes videos, they're DRM, and it means that you can't play them wherever you want. You're locked into Apple's ecosystem of iPhones and iPads and iPods and Macs and PCs with iTunes on it. And it's like, right, but what if I want to watch this shit on Plex? Which is a great, versatile media centre thingy that I'm sure you're all aware of. Or even XBMC. XBMC is pretty good, but it just doesn't have the same sort of feature set as Plex does, as far as, like, streaming it to other devices. Like, Plex is on fucking everything. Plex runs on my brother's LG Smart TV. Yes, LG Smart TV. That has 3D and a bunch of other bullshit that we don't use. But yeah, it can run on that. Runs on the Xbox. Runs on every iOS device, Android, so on and so forth. Apparently it's also on that new Apple TV. So you can do that instead of without having to jailbreak it, just install Plex on that. So yeah, Plex is good. I'd much rather buy TV shows on some sort of physical medium, DVD, Blu-ray, whatever, and then convert them, put them into a media server. But that's a fucking lot of work. It's a lot of work. I'll talk about this one. Anyway, yeah, so we stopped watching Top Gear because although I had it on iTunes, and for a while I had a VPN set up so that I could watch Top Gear on the BBC iPlayer, I think it's called. Anyway, I had that set up, and yeah. I just didn't watch it with, because Top Gear was, okay, every Monday night, me, my dad, my sister, we all sit in front of the TV, we watch Top Gear, and immediately afterwards we all watch South Park. And so that was like a solid hour and a half booked out where we're watching TV together, and that was great. And watching Top Gear by yourself, like, it's still funny, but you're like, oh, but, you know, and there's all this funny, all these bits that you're like, oh man, I have to show that to them, and you just never get around to showing it to them. So yeah, sort of stopped watching Top Gear. I haven't really watched the Grand Tour because I'm too lazy to get it, like, legitimately or otherwise. And yeah, similar situation. It'd be, you know, but it's the guys from Top Gear, and even though it's a new show, like, you still want to watch it with everyone else and enjoy the experience together. I think my sister's been watching bits of it, or sometimes entire episodes. Just like someone uploads it to YouTube. And the first episode that we saw, to get around Content ID, they're like, okay, let's get the web stream from Amazon. We'll record that or save it or have whatever they did to get it. And then they uploaded it to YouTube, but they also slowed the audio down. And the, let's, it, like, it wasn't 1080p, but let's say that the video resolution was 1080p, but the actual Top Gear episode was 720p inside this 1080p video with this black border around it that had something like a snow field. It wasn't a star field, it was more like snow falling on this black background. So I'm still stuck behind this U. There's a car in front that is also going slow. And you never know, okay, who's going slow in this situation? Is it the car in front? Is it the car behind? Or is it both of them? Anyway, there's not too many good places to overtake along here. There's some overtaking lanes come up eventually. I forget what town it's called, but there's one just outside of that. So when that comes up, I'm going to overtake these cars. Because, yeah. Doing anywhere between 80 and 90. Especially because this, like, the car that I'm in is fairly low to the ground. The car in front of me is, I don't know, can't actually tell, there's no badge on it, but let's just say it's a Hilux, or a Mitsubishi something or other, what are they called, or a Nissan Navara. What is the Mitsubishi Hilux called? I don't know. But anyway, it's one of those big utes, like a Hilux, which means that I can't see very far in front of it at all, because it is a big car, and I generally don't like that, because I like to be able to see what's ahead of me, because I don't want to have to rely on the other driver in front of me being a good driver. And my driving instructor did point out that, well, you know, if you leave a sufficient enough gap between you and the vehicle in front, well, you're not having to rely on them being a better driver, like, or just a good driver. But I do like to be able to see what's coming up well in advance, because, you know, I've just been riding the motorcycle for years, and that was all about, they called it rider radar, that you've got to be looking at what's immediately in front of you, what's to the sides, what's a bit further ahead, and what's, like, way ahead. And you're also going to be checking what's behind you, like looking in the rearview mirror and so on and so forth. But, yeah. Yeah, when there's another vehicle in front of me, it's obscuring that vision. So you can't see too far ahead. And my preference is to be able to see far ahead. But yeah, for this, did I mention that I listened to the thing and it's audio? Yeah, I did. Yeah, because it's scratching against my head. So anyway, honestly, don't know if I'm going to edit this. I might just leave it as just one big audio thing. And, like, that's the easiest thing to do. Record something and just fucking throw it up on the internet and don't worry about editing or any of that other shit. But yeah. If I've got some time, I'll listen back to this and see if I can clean it up. See what I can do. Yeah. Yeah, the other thing that I've got to fix is I broke my fucking website the other day. Because I did something dumb! I've got these two web servers that's costing me $10 a month, yes. So $20 a month for these two web servers. And anyway, I haven't been using them. Like, the last time I updated anything on my personal site was a year ago. And the last time I updated anything on Anadvised was whenever the last episode of Anadvised was. So yeah, they're just sitting there doing nothing. And I use BitTorrent Sync, which has been rebranded to I don't know how you say it. It looks like Resilo, but there's an extra I in it. So it seems to be Resilio, which is a bit silly. But yeah, so I just call it fucking BitTorrent Sync, just like I call XBMC XBMC instead of whatever it's called, Kodiak. I just call it XBMC, because it was like, well, I use Kodiak, and people were going to be like, what the fuck's Kodiak? Oh, it's XBMC. Well, why didn't you just say it's XBMC? Oh, because they rebranded and so on and so forth. Yeah, so BitTorrent Sync. I use it because in many ways it's better than Dropbox, because it gives you flexibility of being able to put shared folders wherever the fuck you want on your hard drive, as opposed to Dropbox, where you have the Dropbox folder, and anything that goes into the Dropbox folder gets uploaded to Dropbox, and then it gets synchronized to all of your other computers, and yeah, it's an overtaking lane 300 meters ahead. Then if there's anything that's on your hard drive that cannot be moved to a different location, then you've got to be fucking around with symlinks and so on and so forth, which is, overtaking you fuckers. The ute overtook the car in front, and I was starting to wonder if he was going to overtake me, even though I just overtook him, which would be hilarious and annoying. Yeah. Now we can put cruise control back on. Yay, cruise control. BitTorrent Sync is great. But the problem is that, like, unless you sign up for their pro plan, which I don't really have the dollars to do, then you don't have any, there's no server-side stuff. So it's all peer-to-peer, which means that whatever computers you have, that you got shit on, that you want on other computers, everything has to be on in order for anything to work. So I was thinking, you know, you can install BitTorrent Sync on Linux, and I've got a Linux web server that I'm not really doing anything with, so why don't I put BitTorrent Sync on my Linux server? And anyway, the first part of this that is definitely a dumb idea is I did all this without making a backup of my server first, which I really should have done. The reason that I didn't do it is because backing up your server costs money now, whereas before it's like, oh, you can take as many snapshots as you like, and then like, perhaps we better start charging people for this for whatever reason. You know, and you can have automatic backups, but that also costs money. So yeah, it's something that I'm not doing anything with, so it's sort of not really worth sinking dollars into it. Yeah. Did back up, and I started upgrade, like, putting BitTorrent Sync on there, and I got so far into the process, and then it's like, some shit's not working because it's not working. I'm like, okay, well, the other day I put BitTorrent Sync on Ubuntu, and that was running 16 point something, point something, whatever. And I'm like, well, my VBS server, virtual private server, yes, VBS server, that was running Linux Ubuntu 14 point whatever, whatever. And I'm like, okay. And I did some digging into it, and I was like, ah, well, this version of Ubuntu uses this thing for doing something, and the more recent version of Ubuntu uses this other thing for doing something instead. And you're like, okay, and you can backport it. You can backport it to Ubuntu 14. So I tried that, it didn't work. I'm like, okay, how about I just upgrade the whole fucking server? And this, yes, definitely should have had a backup. But I'm like, sure, it'll be fine, because I'm not touching anything. Like, the BitTorrent Sync wasn't touching anything to do with Apache or anything. And when I was upgrading it, I'm like, it's probably just going to leave all of that stuff alone, but no, it's something's, when I updated it to, upgraded from 14 to 16, I broke it, so the website is down. You go to my website now, and it's like, there's a thing that says run, and then there's a bracket, and then there's a semicolon, and then there's a close bracket, or something like that. So yeah, my website's fucked. So I gotta fix that. Once I fix that, I can start, like, if we're going to be doing this, I'll create a new blog on this, on Something Greg, and it's going to be a podcast blog. I won't bother uploading it to iTunes, but yeah, if you want to subscribe via RSS, and if I ever do that camera thing, it'll be on YouTube as well, but like, I'll still do the concurrent podcast as well, so that then the people who want to listen, I just want to listen, they don't really want to watch. The people who are just listening, then they don't have to jump through hoops, going, like, downloading the video, or going to getting some fucking YouTube video to MP3 converter or whatever. But yeah, I'll do that. But yeah, the thing that I did want to talk about today is depression and anxiety. So I've been, I think it was November, I went to the doctor and talked to him for a while, and he gave me a thing, a little questionnaire. Fill out the questionnaire, take it back to him, and he says, okay, marks it all off. He says, you have extremely severe depression, severe anxiety, and severe stress, which I was a bit surprised about, because for me, the anxiety is a bigger problem than the depression. So I thought it would be extremely severe anxiety, and depression would just be like mild. That's what I was expecting. I'm expecting, oh, you got mild case of depression. But no, it's like, hey, guess what? You go have an extremely severe case of depression. I'm like, what? Oh, fuck, does that happen? So yeah. Like, we keep talking about it, and like, it's sort of hard to pin down how long it has been an issue for. Where is this? This is Roseworthy. We're pulling into Roseworthy. So it's hard to sort of establish how long it's been an issue for. Are we talking a few years? Are we talking 5 years? Are we talking 10 years? Are we talking even longer than that? There's certainly been times in the past where I've felt depressed. Is this just a continuation of, or were they separate instances? I don't know. Probably the first time that I could say that, yes, I was definitely absolutely depressed, but never went to a doctor about it, was the 1999, early 2000. That was school holidays, and I'm at home. And the next year I was going to be moving to a new school, because this primary school that I was at, the student numbers had dwindled to the point where it's like, well, yeah, it's not really worth operating this as a school anymore. So they were going to have one more year, and then they were going to shut the whole thing down. And all of the parents were like, fuck it, we're not waiting one more year, we're pulling our kids out now. So by the end of it, the entire school might have had something like 20, 30 kids in it, or possibly even less. But anyway, so my parents pulled me out of that school early, and I was going to be moving to the school that my sister went to. And, I think it was just this combination of, I never bought into the whole Y2K bullshit. Like, I knew that, look, year 2000 kind of come around, and it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. No problems. It'll just be like every other day. It'll be just like every other year. And you had, like, absolute bullshit reports in the media. And it's like, oh no, a meteor is going to strike the Earth on New Year's Day. And you're like, fuck off. It's not going to happen. You're just winding people up. And even though I think it was 10 years old. So yeah, I'm 10 years old, and I'm like, yeah, being exposed to all this stuff, it's like, oh, there's going to be problems these days. I'm like, it's going to be fine, don't worry about it. But it still affects you. So yeah, waking up on New Year's Day, it's like, whoa, I'm alive. That was the most eerie experience I've ever been through. Just waking up on New Year's Day, the sun is shining, and everything just felt so unreal. I wasn't satisfied that everything was all right until I saw my mum watching TV. And it's like, oh, look, here's all the New Year's celebrations from around the world, celebrating the year 2000. And, around about that time, I was real depressed, and anxious, there was one point where, I was feeling kind of, like, really down, and, I ended up throwing up in bed, just because I was so depressed. There was that. But that only lasted for the holidays. Once I was back at school, it was fine. I sort of got back into it, and just on the Northern Expressway. Come on, overtake me. Hurrah! There was that. And there's been other points where I've felt a little bit down, but whether or not I've been depressed is a different thing, because everyone feels down from time to time, but...
I'm going to overtake you.
space. Oh, no, actually, that's kind of dumb. Because there's a third lane going to open up. So I should be getting behind this guy. And I should be getting into the left lane. But the left lane has a ute and a trailer and a... you know, fuck it all. Just go to a different KFC. I don't have to go to the KFC at Manapara. There's plenty of other KFCs that I can go to. We'll see what this guy does. I don't know. But I only just started talking about depression. There's been other times where I've been feeling down. I haven't had any major issues with anxiety. How far back should I go? Let's go back to a couple of years ago. Or, no, fuck it. Let's go back 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, or 11 years ago, I had... had to do work experience for year 10. I think. Was it year 11? Might have been year 11. So yeah, I had to do work experience for year 11. And anyway, I got this, the place that I was doing work experience at is where one of my mates worked. And he's like, oh, I'll hook you up with some work experience. It's like, oh, sweet, okay. And it was a cheap shop, like Cheap as Chips, the reject shop, only run significantly worse. And if I told you the name, nobody would fucking know it, because, like, the entire time that I worked at this place, people would be like, oh, so where do you work? Oh, I work at this place. The what? And they had no fucking idea. And it's like, oh, and so on. So anyway, I was there for a week, and the final day, the store manager, he came to me, and he's like, hey, on the way out, see this guy and ask him for some papers, because I'm going to give you a job. And I'm like, oh, fucking sweet. So that was my first ever job. I did work experience for a week, and on the last day that I was there, the only day that the store manager actually saw me, he's like, hey, you're pretty good, I'm going to put you on because I need people for Christmas. So yeah, that was July. My first shift wasn't until August. And, I worked over Christmas. And I was there for 9 years. And, it was a pretty good job as far as jobs go. Because it was only 10 minutes away from home, so I could ride my push bike into work. The people that I was working with were really great and really friendly. I made a lot of friends there. And the only thing is the customers were absolute cunts. The customers were absolute fucking cunts. That sucked. And store management was a bit of a mixed bag. Sometimes we had really good managers. Other times we had mediocre managers. Sometimes we had complete crap managers who didn't know what they were doing. And the area managers were always crap and had no idea what they were doing. But the biggest problem was the supply, and we couldn't order our own stock. That was all just allocated to us, and their allocation system was complete bullshit. Like, they had no idea how to order, they had no idea how to manage, they had no idea how to anything. The buyers were running the store. So the place went broke, because every time some new management team come in somewhere in the company, it's like, okay, store's gone bust, these people have bought us out, we got new CEOs, new, like, all of that upper level shit, all the middle management, gone, they're out on their ass, buying team stays the same, and all of the internal structure problems that the company had, they were never fixed, they were never addressed. So, like, people wonder why it failed. That's why it failed, because it just... Those internal structure issues of supplying the stores with what they needed, with what the customers wanted to buy, that just wasn't fixed at a very basic level. So, you know, we were always ending up with too much of something that wasn't selling, or not enough of something that was selling. So we'd have something in, and it's like, oh, fuck, it's selling like amazing. People are just buying it. You do an end of like laundry detergent or whatever, and you come back later that day, the entire end is empty. And you're like, this is fucking great. We're selling so much stock. And the buyers just weren't backing us up. They weren't backing us up with the stock that we needed. So we're making mad sales, but we just ran out of stock. And it's like, well, fuck. There goes all their sales because we weren't allocated enough. Because they have no idea how much to allocate to us. Because the management system is just complete bullshit. Like the reject shop has a much better system. Because I was told all this by one of my managers. She used to work at the reject shop, and she was actually in charge of setting a lot of this shit up. So the reject shop has, it's all allocated and it's all planned out. So they know the layout of every shop, and they have a dummy store somewhere where they set it all up ahead of time. The buyers go through and say, okay, how much space does this product fit on the shelf? Okay, we can fit this much per shelf. The following stores can hold this stuff, so they allocate it all out, and everybody has the same thing. And supposedly, the Christmas stock is worked out for months ahead of time. It's like, okay, this is exactly how you do it. And it all gets sent out, the stock and the instructions get sent out to the store management, and they say, okay, we're just going to set aside a day where we set up a Christmas display, and they just roll through, set it all up, and off, away they go. It's incredibly efficient, and incredibly successful. So the reject shop used to be kind of crap, but because they fixed the supply issues and all that sort of shit, they actually turned it around. And now they are profitable, as far as I'm aware. They sell better quality crap than they used to. Still crap, but, you know, better quality crap. And they don't have supply issues. So if you see something in the catalogue and you go into their shop, you can be guaranteed that it's still going to be there. But that was the issue with us, is that things were always posted in the catalogue. And people would come in and they'd be like, oh, can I get this? Oh, sorry, it was sold out. It's like, what? But it's in the catalogue. And you either had to be honest with them and say that, oh, look, we didn't get that much allocation, or it sold faster than expected. And it's like, oh, but we might get some more. And that was the bullshit thing. It was like, yeah, we'll get some more after the sale's over. Or maybe months after the sale's over. Then you bring up stores around the place and so on and so forth. But anyway. The place went into receivership 3 times, and on the 3rd time they went completely bust. And we're all made redundant, and there was this big thing where we had no idea if... because us being the employees, we are the first creditors. So the receivers are obligated to pay us first above all the other creditors. So we were going to get money, but the question was, how much money were we going to get? Were we going to get our full entitlements? As far as I'm aware, I did receive my full entitlements, but there was a delay of 2 months, which was bullshit. I had $1,000 in the bank, and that had to last a month while I waited on my redundancy pay, which ended up being 17 grand, and unfortunately that's all gone. The big plan was that I was going to take, after I was made redundant, I was going to take a month off, and then I was going to go up to the farm, be on the farm for a month, because I love spending time with my grandparents. They're both in their mid to late 80s, so then, who knows how much longer they're going to be around. It'd be nice if they reached 100, because that'd be cool. I do spending time with them, and especially being able to help them, is very important to me. So I'm like, well, the plan is that I've lost my job, I'm going to get a new job. But first I want to spend some time at my grandparents' place, because if I went out and got a job like the moment that I was made redundant, then I wouldn't be able to go on holidays for another year. So that's an entire year where I can't see them. I can't go up to the farm and spend time. So I'm like, okay, we'll do that first, we'll get that out of the way, and then a year later I could go up and be on the farm. I was going to have a drink because my voice is getting like, I've been talking for a long time. I'm actually really surprised. So I was up there for a month, and then I came back home, and it's sort of like, oh, well, you know, what do you want to do? And of course, by that time, not working had really settled in. I'm like, fuck, not working is great. And by the time the month had finished at the farm, so I pulled over into the next lane. The other cars, they seem to be going at a decent speed. But now that I'm in front of them, I've caught up to them. It's like, but I've been behind these cars this entire time. Anywho. I'm just going to have to take cruise control off. Being jobless had sort of settled in. And it's like, not working is awesome. Getting motivated to actually get a job was pretty hard. And the other problem was I've never known what I want to do. Never. Like, there's some people that are like, I want to be a vet, or I want to be a doctor, or I want to do this, I want to do that. Like, they know what they want to do. And they know that from a fairly young age. And, they go through school, and they learn all the stuff that they need to go, like, they've got a goal that they're actually working towards. Whereas for me, it's more, well, I really don't know what I want to do. I've got no idea. As far as learning concerns, like, I just like learning things. I really just like learning things. Learning things with the intent of turning that, what you've learnt, into a job, that doesn't appeal to me. If I went to TAFE and did a course, like, I keep thinking that it would be nice to do a welding course. But the thing is, like, you go to TAFE and you pay money and you learn how to weld. And then at the end of it, well, the expectation is that you know how to weld, so you're going to get some job welding, because that's your trade now. And it's like, well, no, I just want to learn how to weld because I like welding as a hobby, and I'd like to be able to do it better. So maybe there is something that out there that allows you to do that. I don't know what it is, but anyway, yeah. So. Do I want to be a welder for a living? I don't know. There's lots of things that I could probably do, and wouldn't mind. Lots of jobs that I probably wouldn't mind doing. Do I have any great desire to do any of them? No. That was a big issue, is that, I need a job, but what sort of job did I get? And the thing to me was that, because I've been trying to get out of that job for years, and always wanted to go for something better than what I had. I was trying to get something where I was selling Macs. Either working at JB or Nextbike, because this was all before Adelaide got its own Apple store. And right now that I've seen Apple stores, I have no interest in working there. I'll get into that some other time. And then it was suggested, hey, seeing as though you're now sitting on a reasonably decent pile of money and you've got all this time, how about, instead of looking for a job, You go to your grandparents and you help out. There was a red light that came up pretty quick. Yeah, how about you go up there and help them with harvest? I'm like, sweet. So yeah, I went up there and did that. And of course, after I did that, it's like, hey, can I help out with seeding as well? And so yeah, I spent two years, I think. Or 1.5 years. No, 2 years. 1 year, I don't know. Time is hard. Anyway, I spent a bunch of time raping and seeding, farming. And meanwhile, my dad's been... I don't know if you can hear it, but there's a toolbox in the boot that slides around whenever you take off or stop suddenly. Or turn too sharply. But anyway... Yeah, so in the meantime, my dad has been working on this pub up at Barra. So it's my grandparents on my dad's side of the family. So the ones that have the farm are on my mum's side of the family. The ones that have the pub are on my dad's side of the family. So they've owned this building for 30 years. And they've had a whole bunch of tenants. Some have been good, some have been bad. And the most recent one that they had was really bad. And they pretty much just tanked the business. Yeah. They just sort of got fed up with it. I was like, oh, we've been doing this for 30 years. We've had too many problems with tenants getting leases into the place and, like, actually doing a good job of operating. They've just had probably more bad operators than good operators. And anyway, they're like, well, we just want to wash our hands with it. We're going to sell it. And my dad's like, no, don't sell it. Because he had this idea that he could run the pub. He could do it up and he could run the pub. Yeah. Why is this car going so slow? They're doing 70 in the 90s on them. Anywho. Yeah, so my dad's like, oh, I'm going to run this pub, so on and so forth. And because we don't have any capital, it means that we're starting off with $0. We don't have a big pile of money that we can tap into for hiring staff and shit like that. So, yeah, because the dollars aren't there to have staff on, and because the business has been closed for 5 years, the customer base isn't there either. So, yeah, it's really hard to go to people and say, hey, would you like a job here? And they'll be like, okay, well, what sort of hours can I have, and what sort of pay can you give me? It's like, oh, well, we can't really guarantee hours, and we can't really guarantee pay either, because... of the following reasons. And, which means that my dad has to rely on family to do all the work for, either for free or for very little pay. So I'm in the very little pay category. He's paying me $1,000 a month, because that's all that he can afford. And that's fine. I'm one of those people that's happy to work for not much, but the problem is I don't have much money in the bank. So before, in the previous job, I was probably getting $320 a week, I think, which is fuck all. Like, that is absolutely, like, not enough money. But now I'm getting $250 a week, which is even less money. So yeah, he's like, you know, come and work for me at the pub. And of course, when I had a job, the answer was always no. I have a job. I'm not quitting my job to come and participate in your pipe dream, because it was just too much of a risk. So anyway, it's like, oh, well, you know, what the fuck would I do in a pub anyway? Because I've never worked behind a bar And the experience that I do have with bars being on the customer side is that when it's busy, I walk up to the bar and I shout at the bartender, "Hey, pa!" And somehow they hear me, and somehow they come back with a pale ale. And I've never had my hearing tested. Probably should one day. But I definitely have trouble processing what I hear, because somebody will say something to me and it's like a second to 2 seconds before I actually get what they've said. As soon as I'm engaged in a conversation, it's like, oh, okay, like, I understand everything that people say immediately, but if someone just comes up and starts talking to me, then it's like, what? So yeah, they'll just come up, start talking, and I say what, and by the time I finish saying what, I've actually understood what they were saying. It's like, oh, okay. Because, yeah, I don't know, that's just how I am. So yeah, for me to be behind the bar, and if it's busy and customers are saying, oh, can I have? And if I don't hear them, well, I don't want to be cocking up drink orders constantly, because that's not fun. I'm just not the sort of person that is suitable for working behind a bar. It's like, oh, well, you can work in the kitchen. It's like, okay, well, the experience that I have cooking is just, I'm just a domestic cook. So I cook at home. I'm used to making meals for, you know, 5 people. And that's easy as, because, like, it's just, oh, you know, cook up some spaghetti bolognese or some pumpkin and snow pea stir fry, and you're making the one thing, and, everybody eats it. Easy as. Working in a commercial kitchen is different, because there's a menu, and you have umpteen things on the menu, so I think it's chicken schnitzel, beef schnitzel, oyster blade steak, warm chicken salad, fish and chips, and ham steak. I think that's what we have on the menu. I might be forgetting something. Bangers and mash. Yes, I was forgetting something. So we've got bangers and mash as well. So those are the things that we have on the menu. And everybody that comes in, it's not like they come in and they say, oh, we all want fish and chips. Although on the other occasion you do get that, where they say, oh, we all want fish and chips, except for this one person who wants a chicken schnitzel instead. It's just, everybody wants something different. Two people come in, and they say, oh, we both want beef schnitzels, but this person wants it with pepper gravy, and the other person wants it with mushroom gravy. And it's just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, can't you make this shit simple for me, so that I only have one thing of gravy to make for you? Because the other issue that we have with this pub is that it's not that busy, it has benefits. But the thing is that the busyness level is inconsistent, so we can't come along and say, okay, we are going to, the average number of customers that we get in a night is this many customers, they all want meals, and usually it's this, that, and the other. So, you know, these are the biggest sellers, so we can't sort of plan it out. So, okay, we'll prepare this amount of stuff accordingly, because it might be one night we have 4 people in, another night we might have 8, some nights we might have, like, 20, and most of the time we'll have absolutely nobody. It just makes it so fucking hard. Like, when do you make mashed potato? How much mashed potato do you make? I don't know. So the inconsistency, the unreliability, that shit really gets to me. So I've been, we opened up last April, and I started off okay, but the more I've been doing the job, like, I can see that there's no, I haven't improved. So I started off at a certain level, and because normally when you do things, as you go along, you get better at them. So you're always getting better at them, because you more you do something, the better you get at it. Like, that's just the general thing. Yeah, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. If anything, I've gotten worse. Because winter, like, we started off and we had a lot of people. In April, we had a lot of meals. The first night was fucking busy as. And unfortunately, because we were so busy on that first night, it sort of set expectations. So we're like, oh, okay, so based on this first night, based on the first week, if we keep doing business like this, we will have, you know, this amount of money, and we're going to need to spend this amount of money on food and so on and so forth, and it's all set up, and it's like, oh, great. And I was sitting there thinking, oh, we're making this amount of money, and because the scheme that we've got set up is profit sharing, so I get a third of the product the profits, my dad gets a third of the profits, and the pub gets a third of the profits. That's the scheme that we've got set up. It's not the scheme that we got set up, but that was the initial plan. So, okay, we're going to do this. This is the plan. That plan didn't eventuate because we haven't been making as much money as we thought we would. So until we're getting consistent profits that we can... So, okay, well, at the end of this month, we made this much profit. So the pub gets a third, I get a third, and my dad gets a third. It's hard to do that. My dad's sort of been going without money because the business is providing most of his needs, and I've been getting $1,000 a month. And, the more that time has gone on, I haven't seen any improvement in my ability to do the job. I've seen I've gotten worse in a number of areas, and the inconsistency is really throwing me. When we first started, it was okay. I'm in the kitchen doing meals. My dad's in the bar, and when the meals are done, then I had to cook him something for tea, and then I had to go take over in the bar. And he'd eat tea and then he'd come back. And the longer that I'm in the bar... Oops, this is a 70 zone, not an 80 zone. The longer that I'm in the bar while he's eating tea, the less cleaning up jobs that are being done. So that was starting to really stress me. That, 8 o'clock rolls around and I cook something for my dad. And he has that for tea, and I'm in the bar, and every second I'm in the bar, I'm like, when's he coming back, when's he coming back, when's he coming back, because I've got to get back to the kitchen, and I'm not, like, I know that I'm no fucking good in the bar, I don't want to be there, and that was causing a lot of stress and anxiety for me, that I was there doing a job that I was no fucking good at. Meanwhile, there was a job that needed to be done. Like, you cook even one meal, even just one meal for a customer, that creates a fuckload of dishes. And yeah, if you've had 10 people in a night, you got a mountain of the fucking things to do. So yeah, the more dishes you have, the more work that you have to do, the later you are starting it, the later you are finishing, and like, my sister works as a chef, she's an apprentice chef. She's going to be finishing her apprenticeship sometime this year. I think it's in June or July. In her pub, they finish mealtime at whatever time it is, let's say it's 8 o'clock, and 2 hours later, they've done all the cleaning up jobs, and they can all go home. And that's because they actually have a staff... that can do all of the jobs. Me, I just have me. So I've got this kitchen, I've got this big pile of dishes, so I've got all these benches that need to be tidied up, I've got deep fryers that need to be filtered, hot plates that need to be wiped down, floors that need to be swept, floors that need to be mopped, so on and so forth, and there's just me to do it all. And when I first started out, I was trying to do it all. But yeah, that was just like fucking unachievable, because I'd be going to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I wouldn't have any free time to myself. So, you know, you get up in the morning, have breakfast, have a shower, and then you go to, okay, got to get the kitchen ready for lunchtime. And maybe someone comes in for lunch, maybe nobody comes in for lunch. Most likely nobody's going to come in for lunch, because we're not that busy. But yeah, you spend all this time getting things ready for lunch, and then it's like, oh, nothing's happened. You're like, oh, fuck, I could have done something else. This entire time that I've been in the kitchen waiting, I could have done something else. And, yeah, and then you've got two to three hours in, or maybe it's 4 hours, I don't know. You have a certain amount of time between lunch and tea where you can actually do things. And then, yeah, you got to do tea, and what time that finishes depends on the customers. So if like, you have customers that all come in at 6 o'clock and they have their meals and then nobody else comes in after that, well, then you can do a certain amount of tidying up. You can get a certain amount of tidying up out the way, and then you're just sort of waiting to make sure that nobody else comes in. And if nobody else does come in, well, that's great. Then you can finish tidying up and it's all done. But if it's a busy night, or you have people coming in late, and you're still doing meals at 8 o'clock, then, you know, that means that those meals have to be done so that you can start tidying up. And the tidying up can take a lot of hours, or it can take no hours, or, you know,
whatever.
There's this, car's just broke down in front of an intersection. Anywho. Yeah, it's all very, what do you do? So yeah, just the inconsistency of this job, and the late hours that I was doing, and the fact that I wasn't getting any time to myself to do the things that I wanted to do, the fact that I was working all the time, the fact that we weren't having days off, like, that was all really getting to me. And yeah, it just sort of gets to this point where I'm not working as well, so I'm not doing all the jobs that I was doing. So I start doing less in the kitchen so that I can get to bed earlier. And, you know, it's all just sort of, and because of the anxiety stuff in the bar, like, I cannot walk into the bar while there's customers in there anymore. I physically cannot. Like, I can walk up to the door, but I can go no further, because there's people in there. So yeah, the stress and anxiety, like, yeah, maybe it was all there before, and working in this job has sort of brought it out in a big way. There's not really any way of knowing that, but definitely working in this, it's made me stressed, it's made me anxious, and, yeah. I'm just not, I'm not suited to doing this job, because I'm just me. I don't have any training, any qualifications, any experience. I've had coaching, because, yeah, my sister's an apprentice chef, so she can work in the kitchen and say, okay, she can give me tips and advice. My mum works in aged care in a kitchen, so she can give me tips and advice on what to do. But yeah, it's all just, it's a lot, it's too much for me, and I'm one of those sort of people that only take on as much as I think I can do. And I'm doing all this shit, and my dad still wants more out of me, because I flat out refuse to work in the bar. That means that my dad's always in the bar, and he can't do anything else. So if there's bathrooms, toilets that need to be cleaned, then I've got to do that. If there's any sort of work that needs to be done outside in the garden, and I really could not tell if that was a red light or not, because the sun's shining on it. Yeah, these are the old-fashioned traffic lights. They're not the LED ones. The LED ones are easy to see when there's sunlight shining on them. But anyway, yeah, it's just something that has been getting progressively worse over time, and it's gotten to like I've run away from the pub on two occasions. On one of those occasions, I had suicidal thoughts. The most recent one was a few weeks ago now. Like, we had these people turn up for lunch, and it's like, I'm in the kitchen getting things ready. My dad comes in. It's like, oh, we'll get some people. They're probably going to have lunch. Okay. And so I'm just like tidying up some leftover dishes and wiping down benches and preparing salad. Making sure it's all cut up, ready to go. And then he comes in and he's like, okay, yeah, they're probably definitely going to have lunch because they're all looking at the menu and talking about it. So, okay. And then, like, I've done all the jobs that need to be done in order for me to start cooking. And I'm like, when are these going to order? Because it's been like half an hour. Surely they're going to order something now. And they... an order wasn't coming in. And the normal thing that I do is that if I'm starting to get anxious, I'll just walk out of the kitchen or I'll go upstairs into my room, because we live on premises. And that's another thing that makes it really hard, is that there's... Okay. Because we live and work in the same building, there's no break. Like, you go upstairs, you're still at work, even though you're in your room, you're in your residence, you're still at work. And there's some fucking roadworks here. I don't know what's going on, because I can't see past the car in front of me. But there's two lanes of traffic blocked and you can only go left, and a lot of the cars behind me, they're just doing U-turns and going back the other way. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I was in the kitchen, and the normal thing is that I'd go up to my room and I'd sit down and I'd be relaxed and I'd be calm. But my dad had been on me the previous week about, it's like, oh, I expect you to be in the kitchen at these times, and I hate it that I can't find you, and so on and so forth. And I'm like, but I'm only at just, my room's just at the top of the stairs, you just need to call out for me. He's like, oh, but sometimes you don't hear me, and so on and so forth. It was like, look, just be in the kitchen, okay? I'm like, okay, I'll be in the kitchen. So I'm in the kitchen, I've run out of jobs to do. I haven't actually run out of jobs to do, because there's still more jobs to do, but the jobs are starting to get bigger. So it's, I could do that, but an order could come in at any moment. An order could come in at any moment, and I can't start a job that's too big, because I need to be able to stop immediately. So cutting up, like, salads and shit, that's part of doing the meals. That's, you know... That's something that you can sort of stop in the middle of it, and because the inconsistency of the customers, we're running on a lot of frozen stock, and because we are running on so much frozen stock, like we need to, like if it's chicken schnitzel, we've got to defrost the chicken schnitzel. So you go, okay, I can stop doing the salads and I can defrost the chicken schnitzel, and then I can go back to the salads. No big deal. Or if I'm wiping down, if we've got dishes. I can be doing the dishes, a meal comes in, and it's like, okay, I can stop doing the dishes and I'll go back to the meal. But now we're up to things where, okay, well, that bench top with all the chopping boards on it, that really needs to be wiped down, but in order to clean that, I need to make a big mess, putting the chopping boards somewhere else, and so that I can wipe it down. Well, I can't do that. The baskets above the thing, they can be cleaned, and you can do it one at a time, but you still end up making a big mess. I could clean out the microwaves, but, to do a proper job of it, where you, Like, they're on shelves, so I'd have to take the microwaves off of the shelf and then clean out the shelf, because somehow crumbs always end up underneath these shelves. I'm still at this intersection, by the way. There was just... I had run out of quick little jobs that could be interrupted at any moment, and I'm sort of pacing up and down the kitchen because I really did not know what to do, where to be, or anything like that. I'm just stressing, I'm getting anxious, I'm thinking that an order's going to come in at any moment. Normally I would be going going upstairs to my room, but I'm thinking, well, as soon as I go upstairs, an order might come in. So I'm like, okay, I'll sit outside for a bit because I'm still next to the kitchen. My dad can see me if he comes in. And I'm out there for a bit, and I'm like, no, I can't be here either. And I go back into the kitchen, I go into the dishwashing area, and I'm walking all over the place. I don't know what to do. And it's like now an hour later, and an order still hasn't come in. And I'm getting so stressed and so anxious. Oh, there's police directing traffic, okay. Right. Road closed. Left turn only. Oh, okay, they're doing something big here. It is. Well, they're doing something really big. I'm in the kitchen, I'm getting more and more worked up, and I'm trying to calm myself down. And I'm trying to take deep breaths and trying to find something to do, find something to somewhere to be, because I've been given all this advice. It's like, oh, you know, if you feel yourself getting all stressed out and whatever, just keep yourself busy and it will take your mind off of it. You won't be thinking about it. So I was trying to keep myself busy, but I'm still getting worked up about it, that an order's got to come in, and it's going to come in at any moment. And also kept thinking, well, once the order comes in, then it will be okay. I will settle down because I'll know what I'm doing. Because I'll know what the order is and I'll actually have something to do. So rather than waiting for something to happen, then I'm actually doing something. Once the order comes in, I'll be fine. So it was all the waiting that was stressing me out. And this just order just was not coming. And I ended up curled up in the corner of the dishwashing area, crying. Because it got to that point where it was so worked up, and I thought, well, rather than hold it back, how about I have a sit down and a good cry, and maybe I'll feel better about it afterwards. And my dad comes in, he sees me in the corner on the floor, and it's like, oh fuck. And he's like, look, we've got an order, can you help? And I'm like, yes, I can help. And I'm thinking that because I know what the order is now, it was just toasted sandwiches. Like, all that they wanted was toasted sandwiches. So why the fuck it takes them an hour to go, okay, let's all have toasted sandwiches? I got no fucking idea. But anyway, he's like, oh, we're going to do ham, cheese, tomato, toasted sandwiches. I'm like, okay, I can do that. And I get up and I'm still crying. I'm like, why am I still crying? Like, I know what I'm doing now. I have a job that I can do. It's not that hard. It's just get bread, put the pasta sauce on it, cheese, slice up some ham, slice up some tomatoes. No, I can't do it. Still sobbing uncontrollably. And then, like, I'm slicing up all this ham. We really ought to have pre-sliced ham that we can just pull out of a packet, but that kind of costs a bit, and like I say, it's inconsistent. If we were doing toasted sandwiches on a regular basis, then yes, it would absolutely be worth... this is all new, so I don't know if I can go where I usually go. Sweet, I can. Alright, going to KFC for tea. Anyway, let's go this way. Let's go this way and then sort of turn around here. Whee! That was fun. Okay. We'll get back this way and then we'll park in the shade. Not that it's that hot, but we're going to park in the shade. Yes. Okay. I've got to finish my story and then I'm going to go get something to eat. I'm cutting up ham and I had to stop cutting up the ham because I was suddenly having visions of me just getting the knife that I was using to cut up the ham and just slashing my wrist. And I had no intention of doing this, and this is something that happens from time to time, that I will just have these flashes, these visions of some me doing something to harm myself. So, let's say that I'm trimming my beard with a pair of scissors, because there's a hair that's out of place. So it's, okay, I'll trim that with a pair of scissors, and I'll be looking in the mirror, trimming it up, making sure it's all even, all that sort of stuff. And I'll suddenly just imagine myself taking the scissors and stabbing myself in the eye. And I really don't think that there's any intention behind it. I'm hoping that it's my brain's way of telling me that stabbing yourself in the eye with a pair of scissors is a really dumb thing to do. I hope that's what it is. But I have this. I have this. And I'm in the kitchen, I'm cutting up the ham, and I had to put the knife down because I'm just imagining myself just slashing my wrists open with the knife that I was using to cut up the ham. And my dad comes in and I'm still crying, and he's like, "Look, I'll help you." And he's helping me. And I got through it. I cried the entire time. I had to do up some wedges as well, because we had order of wedges come through, and I needed to open up a new bag of wedges. And when I was, because I'm opening up the bag of wedges with the knife, and the same thing happened. It's like, "Hey, why don't you get this knife and slice your wrist with that?" And I'm like, "No, I put the knife, I didn't put the knife down, I threw the knife down, because I'm just like, this is getting too scary." And so we got all of the sandwiches out. We got it all done at a reasonable time. We got the wedges out, and I'm like, "Okay, I need to go upstairs." And I went upstairs, I sat down in my room, and just immediately calmed down. It seems to be that the only strategy that I have at this point in time for dealing with anxiety is just remove myself from whatever situation is causing me to be anxious. Just remove myself from it, and I'll feel fine. That's not a good strategy to rely on long term, because you can't go through life just avoiding shit all the time. It's like, "Oh, well, this makes me anxious, so I'm just not going to do it." I need to have other solutions to the problem. I need to have other strategies that I can go to. Currently I'm on medication. I think it's just for the depression. Being up at the farm for 3 weeks really helped, because I was away from the pub for 3 weeks and it was great. I was doing something that I'd enjoy. I was cruising around in the header. I was listening to podcasts. I was having a good time, spending time with my grandparents, my uncle. He's got one of those quadcopter drones, so I'm flying that around. Tons of fun. And I come back and everyone's like, you seem like you're better now, better than you were before you left. I'm like, "Well, yeah, I don't know if that's because of the medication that I'm on or the fact that I've had a 3 week holiday, or a three week working holiday, I should say." I think it's still too early to tell if the medication is having any effect. I think I've been on it for 2 months. I've been on it for 2 months because I'm due to get another repeat script. I was talking on Twitter the other day that the depression is something that I can deal with. I could go through the rest of my life being depressed and I'd be okay with that. But yeah, the anxiety, that's what really screws me over. It's what stops me from doing simple things. Like the other night, my dad wanted some pork schnitzel for tea. So I cooked up the pork schnitzel, and he had two people left in the bar. And we go through the bottle shop door. There's a bell on the bottle shop door, and I ring that when I have food to be taken into the bar. And then my dad comes through the bottle shop, and he gets it from me. So I have no trouble ringing this bell when it's a customer's food, but as soon as my dad's food, for some reason, I cannot ring the bell. Like, the bell is right there, and all I have to do is reach up and ring it, or even just kick the door. Kicking the door will make the bell ring, and then you can come through and get the food, and it'll be no problem. But I'm standing in the bottle shop, knowing exactly what I need to do, and telling myself, look, it's real fucking simple. Just kick the door, just reach up, just do something. And I can't do it. I can't do it. So what? And the customers, they seem to be like, I could hear them doing the credit card bit, and they had to use a PIN number. It's like, oh, I got the wrong PIN. So I'm like, okay, they're paying them. Maybe I'll just go back into the kitchen. I'll come back in 5-10 minutes, and they'll be gone. And I'll come back, and they're still fucking there because they're talking. And I'm waiting around, and I'm getting stressed, getting anxious, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna put this back in the oven. And just going to leave it on a low temperature so that it keeps warm, and then my dad can come and get it when he's ready. But yeah, something as simple as that, just ringing a fucking bell, I couldn't do it, because, yeah, I was just getting too worked up. Anyway, I think I'm going to call that, because I've been talking for a really, really long time. I'm genuinely surprised that I managed to get through the entire 2-hour trip, and talk the entire time. I didn't think I'd be able to pull it off. I thought that I'd be able to talk for a few minutes, and then I thought that I'd be, you know, really struggling for things to say, because that's how I usually am. When I don't have anything to say, I'm quiet. I don't say, I don't talk, I don't anything. But yeah, that's... So I'd call this a success. Apart from the audio quality, but we can fix that going forward. But the fact that I have been able to talk for this amount of time shows that, yes, talking in a car is a good idea. Especially because I didn't run into anything, so that's always good. Not that I'm the sort of person that does that, but yeah, talking while driving, it does take your mind off the road. So yeah, something to be aware of. But yeah, I'm going to call it. I'm going to get some KFC for tea. And, when I get home, I'm going to upload or do something with it. And, yeah, hopefully you've all listened, you've enjoyed it, hopefully it's been entertaining. Next time I do this, I'll continue to talk a little bit more about depression and anxiety, because I think being able to talk about this stuff will really help. It's going to help me talking about it with other people. It's going to help me deal with it myself. I'm gonna keep doing that. But yeah, this like Drivecast isn't the now it's the depression and anxiety hour, where I'm going to talk about that non-stop. No, it's going to be, I'm going to talk about whatever's on my mind. But it will be a good opportunity for me to just sort of work some things out. Anyway, like I said, I'm going to sign off. I'm going to get some KFC. All right, so this has been Drivecast. Like, subscribe, share, whatever. You know, all that shit that you do at the end of the podcast when you say goodbye.